In other news.
To determine why and how the towers collapsed.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Aggressive real-time climate engineering continues altering natural weather worldwide and facilitates disaster capitalism models. Part of the reason there's so much deception and bitter contention swirling around this topic is because this is likely a multi-layered terraforming operation. As part of this transformation, man-made microwave radiation signals such as 4G and 5G are also interfering with the Schumann resonance, a natural frequency on the planet, resonating between the Earth's surface and the atmosphere. The Schumann resonance happens to perfectly match the human brain frequency. The well-funded lies surrounding the topics of climate change and climate engineering are the reason why this topic is revisited on the show. Video evidence of climate engineering aerosol operations being conducted in the United States, Canada, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and many other countries have been witnessed now by millions of people. However, as you will hear in this show, there's an attitude of willful ignorance among climate scientists and researchers that needs to be understood on many levels. Meanwhile, disinformation gatekeepers play semantics or outright deny real-time use of weather control technology while claiming to be researching it as a contingency to climate change. You might ask, how much longer can the veil of lies continue to obscure this reality from good, intelligent, caring humans? What's very sneaky here is the very topic of being environmentally mindful has been hijacked. The anti-geoengineering activists actually care deeply about the health of the environment. That's why they've sounded the alarm about the effects of spraying soft metals such as aluminum into the atmosphere and using electromagnetic technology to heat and control weather systems. Earlier in 2018, WBAI courageously aired the In Other News Geoengineering Debates with Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org, MIT scientist Douglas McMartin, Paul Beckwith, professor and engineer of the University of Ottawa, and Patrick Wood, author of the book Technocracy Rising. While there was certain disagreement, the participants involved were willing to have civil and public discussion for listeners to then draw conclusions. There were other guests respectfully invited to publicly discuss geoengineering live on the radio, but they declined. During the process of declining the invitation, some of the geoengineering scientists entered into prolonged and revealing email exchanges. We review some of that content with lead researcher of geoengineeringwatch.org, Dane Wigington. We'll also get updates from Dane and discuss what's being planned for the eastern United States this winter. Dane, welcome back to Another News.
Thanks for having me back, Jeff. Thanks for continuing to address the critical climate engineering issue that too many, unfortunately, are as of yet unaware of.
You had published an article titled Exposing Faces of the Carnegie Science Criminal Climate Engineering Cover-Up. I think listeners may be surprised as we expound on the attitudes of the geoengineering scientists and their personalities as revealed in the aforementioned email exchanges. In one example from April of 2018, Guy McPherson, a professor emeritus of natural resources and ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Arizona, published on his website my email exchange with him in an effort to deride and dismiss views about real-time weather control and the aerosol operations as conspiracy. Let's start with Guy McPherson. I'm going to read through some of this exchange, an email exchange from an invitation for a geoengineering debate, but he decided to post the email exchange on his website and ridicule me. He writes, he starts off politely, if not intelligently. I respond with all the respect I can muster. It's painful. It's a waste of my valuable time. Jeff demonstrates neither appreciation nor respect. His approach is so common, I'm beginning to suspect I'm the crazy one. I provide commentary for the readers. The information in bold font was not delivered to Jeff. It's just for you. Lucky you. It starts off with my invitation. Guy responds, not only am I reluctant to lend credibility to Dane's evidence-free ideas, I'm also unable to do it at that time and date. I'll be getting interviewed that day, and I'll be delivering a presentation that evening. I'll have a tight schedule. And I write back, Guy, I understand your reluctance. However, I think there's a meeting point within the various perspectives. There are hundreds of thousands of people, and I think millions, who are witnessing some operation in the troposphere that looks like solar radiation management or some type of geoengineering. Among the data, Dane is using scientific reports, video and photographic evidence, and satellite imagery to convey this information. I think it's important to hear both sides to bridge some of the viewpoints. We may have a few more live discussions this year. Please consider being on for one in the future. I'll be moderating and make sure there are no interruptions or interference, allowing for full expression of ideas. Thanks again and best of luck with the presentation tonight. And he writes back, thank you for your response. I don't debate flat earthers. I don't debate those who deny natural selection. Dane is in the same category. So I respond, I think it's important to keep an open perspective on some of these topics. The flat earthers comparison is also what Blank said to attempt to discredit Dane by association. And that was Ken Caldera. I think saying things like this are divisive. There's an arrogance within certain groups of scientists who don't take the time to distinguish between those who are honestly wanting to know more information about the subject Dane is talking about and those who are vile and want to cause trouble.
If I can respond to that, Jeff. If I can back up first for your listeners, let's consider that the subject of geoengineering, aka climate engineering, solar radiation management, is the front line of discussion for every science institution around the globe, every government around the globe. For scientists like David Keith, Dr. David Keith and Dr. Ken Caldera, the two most recognized geoengineers on the planet, who are simply disinformation tools for those in power, for this subject to be compared in the way they compare it to flat Earth is completely absurd. When we have scientists around the globe stating that the climate collapse threatens the very existence of not just civilization, but humanity's existence on this planet, for Dr. Caldera and Dr. Keith to try to imply that governments and militaries around the globe would sit around and wait for the population to ask them to intervene in the climate, when we have 70 years of verifiable data to prove that militaries and governments, most especially our own, the U.S. government, have been intervening in the climate system, starting even before Project Cirrus, 1947, the intentional manipulation of cyclones, 1947, now almost 72 years ago. So for these individuals to try to put this subject in the same category as the absurd comparisons they make is criminal. When they're deceiving a population about an issue of such gravity, such magnitude, with Guy McPherson, my initial communications with Dr. McPherson were amiable. He did not deny climate engineering. He actually worked with me in the posting of an article on his website, Nature Bats Last, that addressed climate engineering. The title of that article was Geoengineering, Dangerous Proposal or Lethal Reality. That article was posted on his website. He received immense blowback from that article, from the legions of academicians that exchange ideas on that site. But also, I believe he received blowback from somewhere behind the scenes because his demeanor immediately changed. He began this sort of emphatic, fanatical denial of climate engineering at that point. Was that a tipping point? Was he warned at that point for addressing this issue? And he's behaved in that manner ever since. Very, very much a sort of a fanatical approach to this. So I believe Dr. McPherson has been warned, and it's unfortunate that he's choosing to play that part. He should simply just stop addressing the issue if he's not allowed to address it without some sort of threat, Jeff. But his attempt to deny this issue when we have the entire climate science community discussing it and governments around the globe is simply a very transparent disinformation part that Guy McPherson is playing.
I just want to continue with a little bit more here to shade in some of this personality of Guy McPherson. He continues, I approach every topic with an open mind, but I don't keep an open mind long in the absence of evidence. And my mind isn't so open, my brains fall out. As with the flat earth crowd and those who deny natural selection, Dane uses no evidence, none.
We have nearly 2,500 articles at geoengineeringwatch.org. We have Senate documents, government documents. We have up-close photography of the photographic images of the retrofit nozzles mounted on the pylons of the aircraft aimed into the exhaust jet stream to make this look like, quote, condensation. Again, our film footage that we have of aircraft at altitude, military tankers, KC-10s, KC-135, C-17 Globemasters, turning a dispersion on and off. You cannot turn a condensation trail on and off. How I got into this issue, Jeff, my background in solar, I worked for Bechtel Power, the world's largest engineering firm. My home was on the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine. I'm completely off-grid. I was losing unimaginable amounts of my solar power uptake from whatever these aircraft were emitting on days when there wasn't a single natural cloud in the sky. It was 100%. We have the time-lapse film footage to prove this. 100% emission from aircraft blocking 60, 70, sometimes 80% of my solar panel, solar PV uptake, photovoltaic. That's impossible in regard to condensation. Absolutely impossible. So there is no question that whatever the aircraft are emitting is causing solar obscuration. That's exactly the goal of solar radiation management. Begin to test my precipitation to see if the elements named in climate engineering patents were in the precipitation. Indeed, they were in unimaginable quantities, starting with aluminum. Many people don't know that aluminum is a primary element in climate engineering patents because it's reflective. To spray aluminum into the atmosphere to block some of the sun's incoming thermal radiation with no regard for the consequences. So in regard to what data we have an immense amount of data, enough to start suing the Canadian government, which we are doing, enough to sue the U.S. Department of Commerce to get our Freedom of Information Act request from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which were not releasing our Freedom of Information Act request, which they are legally required to do. So if there's nothing to hide, why are they trying so hard to hide? And I'll finish with this, Jeff. If there's nothing to hide, why is there an illegal federal gag order on all National Weather Service and all NOAA employees? So people like Dr. McPherson are simply very willful tools of a power structure that wants desperately to hide climate engineering, and they seem to relish the part they are playing in that regard. Dr. McPherson seems to really relish the part he plays by telling the public, accurately so in this case, that the climate is imploding, that the planet's life support systems are imploding. But when he omits one of the single greatest factors in that equation, that's criminal, Jeff. That's hiding that from the public. And I would argue that's criminal for someone in his position that the public has entrusted with academic credentials working for a university in Arizona, that for him to play this part is simply criminal denial at this point.
This email exchange gets a lot more interesting, Dane. After he says Dane uses no evidence, Guy writes, he convinces a dumbed-down, willfully ignorant populace that he uses evidence. He doesn't. There's no evidence to support his chemtrail nonsense.
Chemtrail term, Jeff, just so your listeners understand, we don't use that term. Only McPherson uses that term for a reason, because that term has no scientific basis. So just so your listeners understand, science terms matter. That's why people like McPherson don't use science terms.
Why we're going over this is to understand the tactics being used. So I respond, Dane does use evidence. Video and photographic evidence of the aerosol operations are voluminous beyond what's needed to reveal something similar to solar radiation management in full operation. Doug McMartin wrote to me stating that it's possible these operations are going on at 30,000 to 40,000 feet, but he's not an expert in the field and doesn't call it geoengineering. He calls it weather control. That's an important acknowledgement to help dispel the hate that's causing divisive issues among the encampments. Calling people who see a massive aerosol program being conducted in the skies above, other than the normal jet contrails, and want to know more about what they're seeing, dumbed down and willfully ignorant, is what's known as, quote, earning the hate. Dane didn't make this up. The public's research on these programs started in the mid-90s. Anyway, you can see that this would make for an important discussion on air. And when you say Dane has no evidence, you would need to back it up with scientific data. Same with Dane. This is what listeners want to hear. They don't want to hear scientists insult them or bickering back and forth with activists. Then he writes back, pandering to, quote, what listeners want to hear is the job of a corporation, not honest media. Sadly, there are few honest sources in the media. Rather, most media are now corporate entities. Contrails are not chemtrails. Did you read the essay I sent? Did you follow the links? I'm not interested in debating a non-scientific topic with somebody who slanders me. I'm a scientist. I will not stoop to discussing made-up fantasies with Dane or anyone else.
There's no evidence in Guy's so-called evidence. It's simply the official narrative. That's not evidence. So when Guy McPherson, when Dr. Douglas McMartin, or Dr. David Keith, or Dr. Kim Caldera, when they make these statements, they're simply repeating, parroting an official narrative and not providing any evidence whatsoever, which we do provide at geoengineeringwatch.org and ask people to make up their own minds with what they can see with their own eyes, evidence they can examine themselves, and not simply ignore such a grave issue because a person who's been tasked with denying it says it isn't so. That's not a reason to ignore an issue of this magnitude, manipulating Earth's life support systems with toxic elements. That's what we're talking about here, Jeff.
Here are some excerpts from a 3-day email exchange with Gernot Wagner. Gernot Wagner is a member of the Keith Group at Harvard. That's David Keith, by the way. Mr. Wagner is a research associate at the Harvard John A. Paulson School of Engineering and Applied Sciences, the executive director of Harvard's Solar Geoengineering Research Program, a lecturer on environmental science and public policy, and an associate at the Science, Technology, and Public Policy Program at Harvard Kennedy School's Belfer Center. Okay, here is some of that email exchange, which started as an invite to be live on the air discussing geoengineering with Dane Wigington. And he responds, "Many thanks for the invitation. I have to decline. I trust you have seen this." And he sends me a link to an essay he wrote. And I write back, "Yes, I did see the article. I think it would be important to open this dialogue. I would moderate to ensure no one talks over each other and the full viewpoints are expressed in the time given. This opportunity is granted by the listenership of WBAI, and they want to hear differing opinions. Thanks for considering." And he writes back, "I certainly agree that it would be good to present different opinions to your listeners. In fact, I consider it a real problem that they seem to only hear the conspiratorial talk. That said, Dane appears entirely untethered to facts. I have no interest in debating him."
Do you hear any facts presented, though, by Mr. Wagner or any of the rest, Jeff? And let me make one statement. I can give this back to you. But let's consider that what we can see with our own eyes and what lab tests prove is raining down through our air column is exactly what the climate engineers describe, exactly. A solar obscuration, i.e. global dimming, created by aircraft dispersed reflective particulates as part of solar radiation management. That's exactly what we see happening. We see greatly diminished solar power output, not just from private systems like my own, but from commercial systems that are falling far short of their projected production rates. Everything we see happening, every element we find in our precipitation test, everything matches. Every single dot matches, including film footage of these aircraft spraying, nozzles visible, turning on and off. And yet, these so-called scientists claim that we don't really see what we're seeing. We're not really getting the results that we're actually getting from state-certified labs with the elements showing up in our precipitation. That even though every single component they describe is something we need to do immediately because the climate is imploding, even though every one of those elements can be observed and documented, they're telling us not to believe any of that evidence, but simply to believe their official denial. Does that make rational sense?
It does to me. If you were a disinformation gatekeeper, this is how these people are acting right now.
What I would encourage people to do, if they truly understand the gravity of this issue, the contacts for all these individuals are not hard to find. And I would encourage people to peacefully, I stress that, peacefully, but professionally, address these individuals with contacts, present data and information, and see how, as we've seen in the past, how factless and infantile their responses typically are. And I think it's very revealing. And we receive at geoengineeringwatch.org, which is the site I represent, we're the largest website in the world on the subject. No politics, no advertising. 32 million plus visitors. And we have received emails and threads of exchanges of information with all of these individuals that are truly revealing, because their responses are completely inadequate from these so-called geoengineers. They're simply various framings of the official denial. That's it. And all the while, they are all proposing that we need to do this. We need to do exactly what you say that is already occurring, but we're not doing it yet. And that sort of denial is truly absurd when we see what we see happening around the globe. And we have the mountains, as you said, voluminous mountains of evidence that we're simply asking people to examine, Jeff.
So continuing with Gernot Wagner, I respond to him saying that Dane appears entirely untethered to facts. I understand. The main issue, as I see it, is to identify what is considered untethered and provide material that would indicate why that's so. I think that's an easy task to do. If you don't have some data from your research to back up your viewpoints and only level criticism to your potential opponent, then that won't help any listener. That's a real problem I've noticed when bringing opposing viewpoints on this topic to the airwaves. This is a 3-day email exchange. And so we're going back and forth, and I respond, do you honestly think that this is about people being concerned with a few planes crisscrossing the skies? I made it clear to Doug McMartin, who was complaining about death threats, that this is what's called earning the hate. People don't like to be talked down to and dismissed. I might suggest you look up Andrew Johnson in the UK, who used a Raspberry Pi computer, wrote a software program, attached a receiver to catch plane transponding data, and connected a camera. He put it by his window and concluded that the planes that were leaving persistent trails didn't have transponder data. Why can't scientists rig up a better version of this? Where are the journalists covering this work?
Well, they're not certainly covering this work for obvious reasons. The liability that has been created by governments around the globe that are participating in these programs, colluding, cooperating, and participating. And we have an nearly 800 page Senate document your listeners can look up at geoengineeringwatch.org. Search geoengineeringwatch.org, massive Senate document. They can find that. And in that document, it states that governments that are normally opposing will cooperate on these issues, on the geoengineering issue, because of the cross-border ramifications. So again, Jeff, there's, as you stated, voluminous data to confirm these programs have been ongoing for decades.
Gernot Wagner of Harvard University, working with the Keith Group, that's David Keith, another geoengineering scientist.
Bottom line, there are certain individuals in the science community that have been tasked with official denial of climate engineering. And what we have always asked at geoengineeringwatch.org, again, we are non-political. I lectured on global warming, anthropogenic warming, and its causes before I elected to focus all on climate engineering, because climate engineering was not being acknowledged, and mathematically speaking, was the single greatest part of the climate disrupting factor. This is not to deny all forms of human activity that affect the energy balance of the planet or the climate, but when intentional climate intervention programs are ongoing all over the globe, and that is not being acknowledged, that's not okay, that's not acceptable. And we have scientists that are denying that. Programs that are inflicting immense harm on the environment, the biosphere, the climate, human health, indeed the entire web of life. How is that okay? How is such official denial okay? And does that not make these climate scientists indeed accessories to the crime? With any other crime, Jeff, is it not true that if you know of the crime and you know of the harm it's inflicting and you remain silent, you become an accessory to that crime? And much more so in this case, if they actually attempt to hide the crime by their official denial. Is that not so?
Dane, you wrote about Mr. Wagner in your article, Exposing Faces of the Carnegie Science Criminal Climate Engineering Cover-Up. What did your research turn up with Gernot Wagner?
Well, Gernot is just simply a parallel case to Dr. Ken Caldera, Dr. David Keith, Dr. Guy McPherson. They all play similar parts in this, in that they promote geoengineering, solar radiation management, climate engineering, stratospheric aerosol injection, which means to inject particles into the atmosphere. They promote this as something that needs to be done if we're to avert the immediate cataclysm of climate collapse. And yet, when we present data that makes absolutely inarguably clear that these programs are ongoing, because militaries don't sit around and wait for the public to give them permission to do things like this, yet when its evidence is presented that, in fact, everything they propose is already ongoing, they try to paint some picture as if this is some sort of fringe claim that compares with flat Earth, as they state. And that's, again, it's patently absurd. So we're hearing from people in every arena that are now questioning what's wrong. The weather whiplash scenarios, it can literally, we've had instances, Jeff, where it goes from Amarillo, Texas, just, okay, to compare the data that I cite with some of these so-called academicians that never cite any actual data but only make accusations, we cite hard circumstances, hard data at geoengineeringwatch.org. So let me give an example of weather whiplash. And Jeff, you've experienced certainly weather whiplash scenarios in your location, correct? Extremes from heat to cool, the heat and back and forth?
Definitely.
So here's an example that should shock people. Amarillo, Texas, May 1st, 2013. 100 degrees on the ground, all-time record high, snowed the next day. Let's think about that. All-time record high of 100 degrees to snow in one day. That can't happen meteorologically without climate intervention programs. So what I'm saying is there is example after example after example that are shocking, that people should examine, they should look at. Same year, 2013, October 4th, later that same year, 100,000 cattle died in South Dakota from a snowstorm, snowing at 40 degrees. How does it snow at 40 degrees? It's a climate engineering process called chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. And we captured the maps before they were taken offline. At the same time it was snowing at 40 degrees, somehow killing 100,000 coal-hardy cattle.
It makes me wonder, what are these people really doing in these positions of academia in Harvard, at the Carnegie Institute for Science Department of Global Ecology at Stanford? What might these people, such as David Keith and associates, and Ken Caldera and his associates, Guy McPherson, what are they actually doing? Ken Caldera was also invited to a debate on WBAI, the two-hour debate. He says, I will not appear on any program that Dane is on. He is harming people by promulgating his falsehoods, and I will not help anybody who is providing him with a platform for which he can inflict further harm. Dane accused me of lying and acting in bad faith. I will not debate anybody who accuses me of lying and acting in bad faith. Further, Dane has done things like post my home address on the web where my wife and kid live, which in today's environment is tantamount to threatening someone with physical harm.
That's a direct lie from Ken Caldera. Not only did I not post his address, I'm the one responsible for having it taken down off the website that it was on. So these people make it up as they go. Have you heard a single fact in what Caldera said, what Gernot Wagner said, what Guy McPherson said? Not a single fact. Simply accusations, false accusations, and very simplistic denial of an issue that is very verifiably true and factual. So again, we're asking people to investigate for themselves the data, to consider that every science institution in the world is discussing this, including the scientists you just mentioned, all of them, stating that we need to do exactly what geoengineeringwatch.org presents evidence is already ongoing. But somehow, even to bring the subject up for them is an excuse to accuse of some sort of comparison with ridiculous subjects like flat Earth. So, again, this is patently absurd that these people are all afraid to debate, all afraid to address honest questions. Why is there a federal gag order in all National Weather Service and NOAA? Why do we have film footage of this happening? Why do we have the same elements listed in climate engineering patents raining down on us in unimaginable quantities? And these are tests that are confirmed by former government scientists, Jeff. I want to state that. We work with former U.S. Forest Service scientists, former Fish and Game scientists, former Union of Concerned Scientists individuals. We have video footage of their testimony on this issue. Okay. People from academia, top people from academia. But none of these individuals you're discussing will address any of these facts. None.
And I respond to Ken. And by the way, Paul Beckwith and Doug McMartin are on this email exchange. Professor Doug McMartin initially felt the same way and later decided to go on to go on based on the understanding that this is an open forum where each person would be able to explain their position without interruption. Doug and Paul acknowledged that it was an interesting learning experience. You would be able to publicly call Dane out live on the air about the alleged accusations and specifically lies regarding the topic. I was mentioning to Professor McMartin that you can clarify semantics and that Dane is not being elevated in as much as he represents an embodiment of a public opinion on this topic. It's a public opinion that hasn't been officially addressed by academia in this format.
I would encourage people on the interviews that you very professionally conducted, not being on any particular side, Jeff, and if people listen to those interviews, I think they'll see that's clear. You were simply trying to objectively present the data. And I would encourage listeners to actually take the time to go through those interviews, which they can find at geoengineeringwatch.org, I'm sure on your websites as well. If they search geoengineeringwatch.org debates. And it's a little harder to find on Google. I want to stress that. Google, if there's nothing to hide, and I'll back up to what I was about to say with these interviews, but when they're searching interviews with Dr. Douglas McMartin or Mr. Beckwith, it might be better to go to Bing or another search engine, because Google has taken geoengineeringwatch.org off of the top of the first page, which is where our rankings should put us with over 32 million visitors, and they have completely deleted us from a search of the subject of geoengineering. So it's harder to find our material on Google because they are doing their best to censor also. But I would encourage your listeners to find those debates, to listen to them, and decide for themselves who was telling the truth. And in the case of both individuals, Professor Paul Beckwith and Dr. Douglas McMartin, they were unprepared, for much of the subject matter that came up. Unprepared in this manner. For example, Dr. Douglas McMartin, who stated initially that there are no aircraft that can carry a payload to the stratosphere yet available. And as I made him repeat that conclusion before I asked him if he even knew what elevation the stratosphere was over the polar regions, which he clearly did not know the elevation of the stratosphere, which can be as low as 25,000 feet. We have tankers that can carry 100 tons to that altitude, Jeff, which Mr. McMartin clearly didn't know. And Mr. McMartin's final pillar of denial was that unless geoengineering was taking place in exactly the manner that he envisioned it, then it couldn't be geoengineering. Would that hold up in court? Of course it wouldn't hold up in court. And Dr. Beckwith's responses were in similar fashion. So what these people do is simply base their denial on what their personal perception is of what climate engineering should be. And if that's not what's occurring, then therefore climate engineering can't be occurring. If it doesn't meet their personal perception of what it should be or what they envision it to be, that's not a solid platform to deny this issue, Jeff. So I'm simply stating people should listen to those interviews themselves, decide for themselves who had their facts straight and who didn't.
You can find those interviews on Dane's website, geoengineeringwatch.org, and also on inothernewsradio.com. Continuing on this email exchange, Ken Caldera writes, I see no reason to revise my earlier comments. You are helping to promulgate harmful falsehoods by having him on. I do not wish to help you in your harmful activities. Doug McMartin chimes in, I agree 100% with Ken. I thought perhaps it was better if I was on with Dane rather than allowing him to spread his disinformation alone. In hindsight, I don't think it helped. Dane doesn't listen and has no interest in what is true or not true, and certainly no interest in the type of thing that Ken and I do. And as a consequence of being on your show, I've received hate mail, including death threats that I'm debating reporting to the FBI.
But Jeff, you know, in all of these emails, isn't there a common sort of theme or common demeanor that there's no data presented with any of that? Just simply false accusations. And if anybody has threatened any of these people, that has nothing to do with geoengineeringwatch.org. I would think that would have to do with people that are not particularly happy that of the part these individuals are playing. I'm not advocating for anybody to threaten anybody. I've certainly only advocated peaceful responses in any arena. But when we have individuals that are playing the part of hiding an issue of such grave consequence to every human being on this planet, they should be considered accomplices to these crimes. In the case of Dr. Ken Caldera, you, to your credit, recorded him an audio that I have replayed on my weekly broadcast, Global Alert News, of Ken Caldera stating what he did for our government, for the U.S. government, was to try to find ways using Earth's geologic forces to create what can only be considered a form of weather warfare or geologic warfare, to create tidal waves, find ways of creating tidal waves to inundate cities. That's what he did for our government, to contemplate detonating nuclear bombs on the seafloor to create tidal waves. How do we know that hasn't already gone on? That when these people did the incredibly nefarious things they did for our own government, and yet act like they're somehow some sort of innocent academician that would have nothing to do with the kind of programs that we've already documented are ongoing, that's just patently absurd.
And that clip that you're referring to, we'll play some of that. One of the responses to Ken, I wrote, I would think that scientists who are working in these areas of climate engineering would have the courage to acknowledge and properly examine this instead of using vague language to dismiss and call it imaginary. I suspect it's frustrating for listeners who are counting on people like yourself to do the right thing. Courage. They're concerned, not afraid. They're concerned about the silence from academia. They're concerned about the loopholes of this type of action taken in the name of national security. To mischaracterize it as harm, causing harm to listeners, is immoral. Let's hear a clip from Ken Caldera, recorded in 2006 at a geoengineering conference in Palo Alto, California.
I used to work at Lawrence Livermore National Lab, and I once participated in a meeting where we all sat around the room and thought about how could we manipulate geophysical systems to use it as a weapon. The meeting was about weaponizing geophysical interventions. That means, you know, could you somehow interfere in Earth functioning in a way that you could use it as a military weapon? Could you change climate? What could you do in terms of manipulating the sort of Earth's physical systems to as a weapon? Well, you know, some of the ideas were okay, we could blow up hydrogen bombs, you know, underwater, offshore, and make a tidal wave that would go over a city. And, you know, the result was, well, isn't it easier just to drop the hydrogen bombs on the city? You know, that there. Now, you could imagine, though, say, putting pathogens in a cloud, let the cloud, you know, go over somewhere, and then would rain down on your enemy and create, you know, do chemical or term warfare in this kind of way. And that might work against something that would say as big as the former Soviet Union, where, you know, you could be pretty sure that within a few days that cloud would rain out.
That was a clip of Ken Caldera, a climate scientist working for the Carnegie Institution for Science Department of Global Ecology at Stanford University. Caldera is a member of the committee producing the 2015 U.S. National Academy of Science report, Geoengineering Climate Technical Evaluation and Discussion of Impacts. He is also a contributing author to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. We now go to an email exchange with David Keith, who was also invited to a live on-air discussion about geoengineering for listeners to arrive at their own conclusion amid the controversy. David Keith is a Gordon McKay Professor of Applied Physics at Harvard's John A. Paulson School of Engineering and Applied Sciences and Professor of Public Policy at the Harvard Kennedy School. The Keith Group is a fast-growing team of researchers working at the intersection of climate science and technology with a focus on the science and public policy of solar geoengineering. Now let's go over this exchange here. I invite Professor David Keith on the show with Dane Wigington for a live two-hour discussion on climate engineering and climate change. And he says, thanks, but no thanks. I had a quick look, and I think your show propagates noise more than signal. And I write back, thanks for considering a healthy, open discussion is the objective, facts and scientific data only to be considered. Dane, as you may know, is the leading anti-geoengineering voice right now, and you're one of the lead scientists publicly discussing various geoengineering scenarios. There would be no ambush situation. You would get all the time you need to articulate your perspective as Dane would. I would moderate and make sure it's an open and fair discussion. David Keith writes back, Dane is a purveyor of deliberate lies and should be evident to any educated person who spends 20 minutes looking at the evidence. Moreover, these lies fan a culture of hate that may well pose some danger to my family and coworkers. We have twice got threats serious enough to call the police. If you truly cannot tell the difference, then I can't see. I would get a reasonable, that is, reasoned treatment on your show.
As you can see, these emails are very redundant. They're very similar positions of denial, similar bringing up of threats, which we never, ever promote or allow on our site, ever. You see just a tremendous parallel with these people, and they are willing to sit in a room with a half a dozen people and present for hours, half a dozen people that do not have the ability to factually dispute them. Yet, when it comes to you offering them a platform where they could communicate to hundreds of thousands, they refuse when that platform includes someone who can factually refute their denial. They want no part in that. And as we already seen with, have seen with those who accepted that, Professor Paul Beckwith and Dr. Douglas Martin, who represents Caltech, MIT, Carnegie Science, and Cornell, who was unable to sustain his denial when it was factually disputed. And he resorted, I believe, on one point in the show to some profanity because he was frustrated at his denial being factually refuted. So what I'm saying is for people, I hope that, you know, I think the parallel's really clear here with all these people we've mentioned. I think their responses are clear. They're very redundant, very factless. I hope your listeners will actually take the time to investigate the data, to understand that governments and militaries around the globe are not sitting around waiting for the public to ask them to intervene with the climate when, one, they've used the climate, when they've used the weather as a weapon. For 70 years, this is historically documented fact. The patents exist for all of these processes. And the notion that these power centers are going to wait for public approval when they state on the record, in the case of U.S. military personnel, and I encourage everyone to investigate every single thing I'm saying, top U.S. military brass stating on the record repeatedly, the greatest national security threat of all is the collapsing climate. So when we have those military representatives stating on the record that is so, do we think that they are going to not intervene of their own accord when we know from historical fact, Project Popeye in Vietnam, weather warfare, later banned by the UN in 1976, not that anybody cares about international law. I could go on and on and on citing facts about ongoing climate modification. And isn't it interesting, Jeff, that the public can readily acknowledge that there are weather modification programs going on all over the world on a very tiny scale. These are only red herring programs designed to distract and confuse the population, a small little single propeller airplane with a few flares on the wings. But yet somehow when it's pointed out and evidence is presented that this is going on a scale that is unimaginably larger, somehow people can't bring themselves to believe that because we have official deniers like all those you've mentioned on this show. We're asking people to examine the facts. We're asking them to examine the facts on a scenario that is unimaginably grave, governments around the globe, as a way to mask the severity of climate implosion, have chosen to intervene in the climate system without public knowledge, without public consent, without any form of environmental impact review whatsoever. We're asking people to examine that data.
Let's go now to hear that clip of David Keith talking about aluminum particulates being sprayed out of jet aircraft.
A little picture is from a nanofabrication study, which shows you can make very high quality, and do this in just a jet in a very simple way, make high quality aluminum particles just by spraying aluminum vapor out, which oxidizes. So it's certainly in principle possible to do that. There's a big literature that's already looked at that. And you could do that by either building new versions of these aircraft or even re-engineering existing aircraft. So there's some ideas of that. So you go to an engineering firm and you want this done. They don't say this is hard or unusual. They say, okay, yes, we can do it. Aerosol geoengineering looks like it is so cheap that the cost is basically not going to be an issue. That means that implementation decisions will be risk-to-risk decisions. The risk of doing it against the risk of not doing it. And it makes the problem of how we govern it fundamentally harder and different than normal. So I've told you that it's cheap to deliver materials to the stratosphere, and I'm convinced that's true. I don't think that will change. But I think the more we do research, the less easy this will look, the more complicated the environmental effects will look, and that's a good thing, because right now it looks too easy. So I think that if we do more research, we're likely to find out that it's harder and more complicated than we thought, and that the side effects are harder to manage, and that's a healthy outcome that will make it easier to do the management. Of course, the opposite reaction is possible. It's an empirical question, how people will actually react to knowledge about this. Another reaction is to say, if these crazy scientists are so concerned about putting CO2 in the atmosphere, they want to think about these things, and that might actually mean we should be more serious about the risks of CO2 in the atmosphere. And by the way, it's not really a moral hazard. It's more like free riding on our grandkids. And by the way, it's not really a moral hazard. It's more like free riding on our grandkids.
Numerous air quality studies, including from CARB, California Air Quality Resource Board, have named submicron-sized particulates as being particularly harmful for human respiration. Through all the discussions today, I have not heard any mention of this fallout, and has this been studied, and also the effects of a highly reactive metal like aluminum on toxifying soils and waters?
The question is, what would be the effects of these materials on human health if they came down into the stratosphere, in particular small particles and aluminum?
So the collaborators of mine working on the aerosol scheme are actually folks from Carnegie Mellon who focused on human health impacts. And while we haven't published it, that was the very first thing we did, was do the order of magnitude calculation in a level pencil and paper, but with an expert on human health impacts about whether there could be an issue. And for aluminum or other particles, there are a lot of toxicological things that need to get looked at seriously. But if you're just thinking about the sheer number of particles and the human health impact of small particles, the answer is, well, we haven't published it. That was the first thing we looked at, was some of the leading experts who do epidemiological research on human health impacts, and it's not even close to being an issue.
Just clarify, so 10 megatons of aluminum dumped into the atmosphere would have no human health impact.
So let me be more careful here. To separate out the toxicological, so the alumina we've only begun to research and published nothing.
That was you interacting with David Keith. Can you tell listeners about where that was?
That was at an international geoengineering conference. There was a room full of researchers and journalists, of which I was one. They allowed about 3 questions out of 100 in attendance. I was one of those questions. And the question I asked of Dr. Keith was, given his objective of putting 10 to 20 megatons, 10 to 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere annually, had there been any toxicological studies been done? Human health effects, environmental effects? No. The answer was no. Nothing had been done. Could terrible things happen tomorrow? We don't know. That was his statement. Now, I was banned after that exchange with Dr. Keith. I was banned from future conferences. Now, if there's nothing to hide, why would they do that? Why would they be so aggressive with trying to keep such a damning exchange for them from happening again? And that's exactly what they did. So yet again, we're asking people to examine the facts, examine the data that's presented. And Jeff, we will have also at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on January 1st, we will post the most comprehensive presentation ever produced by geoengineeringwatch.org. And that is the most complete geoengineering A to Z ever. And Dr. Keith is addressed in that presentation as well. So again, we're asking people to examine data that they can verify and confirm on their own, and not to be swayed by the official factless denial by those who are paid to do exactly that. Those in academia who are paid to pacify populations, to get them to accept the official denial, and not investigate what's going on in the skies above their heads.
In a Democracy Now! Show, they recently covered the topic of geoengineering in the context of the Global Climate Action Summit in San Francisco. However, they set up the show in a vacuum of a controlled environment with a false debate involving a board member of the ETC group and David Keith, a professor at the Harvard School of Geoengineering and Applied Sciences. I called this a false debate because, unfortunately, the glaring issue of admitted ongoing real-time climate engineering was not mentioned. Climate engineering alters climate, and evidence has been presented that it contributes to the warming of the planet. Another issue is that in the introduction to the false debate, the Democracy Now! Host identified David Keith as an environmental activist.
Well, again, with groups like the ETC group, who passed a geoengineering moratorium in 2010, which meant absolutely nothing, which only served the purpose of, again, pacifying populations into thinking, oh, good, there's a moratorium, they can't do this, when these programs have been ongoing for, again, 70 years. So ETC group also playing the part of criminal climate engineering cover-up by pretending that there was some valid moratorium that would keep geoengineering from occurring when it's already been occurring, is still occurring, is occurring on an ever larger scale every single day. Jeff, we have global dimming, a scientific term that is not disputed, that 20 to 30% of the sun's direct rays are now no longer reaching the surface. This doesn't mean it's 20 to 30% darker. It means 20 to 30% of the sun's direct rays don't hit the surface anymore. We know that from our solar power uptake. We know that's the case. And yes, pollution is a part of the problem. But we know there's intentional dispersions. And I want to state this for the record, by the way. Your listeners should investigate this. The condensation trail lie, perhaps the greatest lie ever perpetrated on populations around the globe, that a high-bypass turbofan jet engine, which is all military tankers, which is all commercial aircraft, which is a jet-powered fan designed for fuel efficiency, 80 to 90% of the air that passes through that engine is non-combusted. That engine by design is nearly incapable of producing any condensation trail except under the rarest and most extreme circumstances. Look at that data. Look at the science. Tutorial for that exact subject is on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org with a full animation to show how that engine works and why it is not capable of producing a, quote, condensation trail. And I'd ask your listeners to consider this, that if, when you see people in the Arctic or the Antarctic regions breathing and condensation occurs at those very low temperatures, do they walk around with big clouds hanging over their heads that stay there for half hour, hour, or longer? That's not how condensation behaves. This is not condensation we're seeing. It's a particulate dispersion. And again, we're asking people to examine the data, Jeff, and not allow the official denial to give them a reason not to investigate. That's what we're asking. Show the courage to actually investigate. That's all we're asking.
And to do so in the face of what appears as professional disinformation gatekeepers playing semantics or outright denying the real-time use of weather control technology while claiming to be researching it as a contingency to climate change. This is a convoluted deception that most people don't have time for and, based on appearances, may tend to trust them.
If I could state geoengineeringwatch.org's official position based on all available data, geoengineeringwatch.org in no way, shape, or form denies anthropogenic global warming or anthropogenic damage to the planet. We do not deny that. We have a global meltdown section on our site with hard science data to confirm the ongoing, rapidly unfolding planetary meltdown. That being said, Geoengineering Watch's mission is to try to disclose what is mathematically the single greatest factor in the equation, and that is not to say the biggest overall or a factor that outweighs all other forms of human damage. We're not saying that. We're saying if we take a single factor in the equation, this would be the biggest single factor, the intentional climate intervention programs. And again, that is not to deny all the other forms of anthropogenic damage to the planet. We've been horrible stewards of our planet. We're not just facing a global warming scenario. We're facing an abrupt climate collapse, of which climate engineering is making worse, not better. And to discuss the climate without including climate intervention programs is not a legitimate discussion. And to discuss climate engineering programs, Jeff, and this is unfortunately true with much of the, even those in the anti-climate engineering community, they are not addressing the engineered cool down events, which the East Coast is now scheduled to go through again using jet stream manipulation with ionosphere heaters. I won't go into that, it's too long a subject. And chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. People can research this subject on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org under the engineering winter section. Bottom line with the climate conferences and the carbon credit scams. Those are all scams. Not that the problem is not real. It is real. But those program or the notion that taxing this is going to change anything is a scam. And let me state this on the two examples, the Cancun Climate Conference and the Copenhagen Climate Conference. After both of those conferences, is it just a coincidence that aluminum futures went up some 25 to 30%? Why? What would that have to do with climate? It has everything to do with it because of geoengineering and aluminum being a primary element used. And what I would argue is being done at those climate conferences is not something to legitimately mitigate the damage being done to the planet, but backdoor deals being forced on countries to go along with climate engineering as a way to mask the severity of what's happening and keep business as usual. That's what those conferences are about. So it's no coincidence that aluminum futures went up dramatically after each of those conferences. Those conferences are simply, again, about strong-arming nations into cooperating with climate engineering and doing nothing about the real core part of the problem.
Wow, I didn't know that, Dane. since the second week of July 2018, there's been an artificial entrainment in place to move jet stream energy down through the middle part of Texas and looping up along the eastern coast of the U.S. This manipulation has caused a lot of precipitation across the Northeast, and I've not seen anything like it in the last 15 years. The pattern is still in place and could be partly why it's been a warm December. However, you suspect a big change is coming this winter. What might that be?
I'm saying it's scheduled. That's what the scheduled weather is, and that's what we're talking about. The entire system has been disrupted and derailed. Climate engineering is the core of that problem. It's not that it's not damaged from other sources. It is damaged from many other sources, but the intentional intervention is manipulating the entire system. So we have a circumstance called SSW, sudden stratospheric warming. The climate science community won't address the causal factor of SSW, sudden stratospheric warming, but ionosphere heaters that are not disputed are factually inarguably in existence, like HARP, and there are perhaps 100 such facilities around the globe, have the capability of creating exactly this condition, this immense stratospheric warming. It's part of what is predicted to trigger this East Coast cooling while the West Coast continues to fry and dry. And that's what manipulates upper-level wind currents like the jet stream. So what we have is a climate science community that is acknowledging the erratic behavior of the jet stream, but is completely omitting the role that ionosphere heaters are creating in that process. So we have the climate science community, Jeff, that is betraying not just the entire human race, but the entire web of life.
Dane Wigington, lead researcher for geoengineeringwatch.org. I want to thank you again for being on In Other News. So thank you again for helping to expose this.
Thank you, Jeff, and I hope your listeners take the time to find the contacts for these individuals, to ship them credible data and ask them to explain it, and do it professionally and peacefully, and see what kind of responses they get. And I think they will be shocked.
Thank you, Dane.
Thank you, Jeff.
This will be the last In Other News show broadcast on WBAI at 11 p.m. The show is preempted next Monday night, but beginning January 7th, 2019, In Other News will be broadcast at 9 p.m. Monday nights. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests. Happy holidays.